If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Being half Italian, I am resisting the temptation to say Malachi, but whatever you want to call it, it's the last book in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Speak to us from it now, Lord, and may we be changed through being confronted with the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Some of you might have guessed we didn't receive the offering. We'll receive it at the end. Pastor Tim must be preaching on giving today. How many figure that out? Some of you did. Okay. Well, we've been doing a sermon series, All In, of course, and the title of my message today is All In on Giving. All In on Giving. Now, several years back in a Texas panhandle town, it was time to preach the annual stewardship message at the Baptist church. A lot of churches do that. I have preached on giving from time to time. I don't necessarily do it annually, although I feel like it's necessary from time to time. Well, in this church, it was the regular time to preach on stewardship, and it was during the time when headsets were made available in the first few pews for those who were hearing impaired. And so when the preacher announced his text as Malachi 3, an elderly gentleman in that section of the church property unplugged his wife's earphones and then took off his own headset and laid it in his lap and unplugged both he and his wife. And I realize today that there's a danger that some of you, while not physically plugged in, may unplug today. Or the opposite may be true. You may be plugged in, you may plug in not to hear me. But I ask you not to do that today. If you're here and you're a regular giver, you may say, "Well, you know, Pastor Tim, I already give. I don't need to hear this message today." Well, I believe we need to understand why we give to God, and we need to understand the implications of that. Many of us tithe and give because that's what we were taught to do, and that's wonderful. That's how it should be. But if you're a regular giver, don't unplug today, okay? Don't tune out. If you're here today and you say, "You know, I really didn't come here to have the bite put upon me to give. I really don't want to hear that today. And, you know, my money's tight and I do the best I can." And you may not be a regular giver. I ask you today also, don't unplug. Don't tune out. But let's hear what I have to say. I should say, more importantly, hear what the word of the Lord has to say. And allow God to speak to our hearts. Can we do that? So I ask you, stick with me, stay tuned in. And I, you know, it's a shame that I really have to even give that disclaimer before we preach. Because the last time I checked, everything in this book was valuable for us. Amen? Amen. Even the parts we don't want to hear sometimes. Amen? Amen? That second one was a little weaker, but okay. Everything in this book is good for us. And so we need to hear what the word of the Lord has to say about being all in on giving. So this morning I want to answer the question, and we will conclude the service this morning by bringing our tithes and our offerings to the Lord and offering ourselves to Him fully in the process. I want to answer the question this morning: what do all-in believers understand about God's design for giving? What do all-in believers, we know by now what it means to be all-in, right? You've been in this series long enough to be fully committed, to hold nothing back, to say, Lord, whatever it is in terms of following you, Lord Jesus, I am all-in. And so this morning, what do all-in believers understand about God's design for giving? We're going to take it all from this one verse. And there are five principles I want to share with you this morning that all unbelievers understand about God's design for giving. The first is this. It has to do with the proportion. The proportion of our giving. It says here, bring the whole tithe. Bring the whole tithe. Now, as you may know, the tithe was a tenth. The tithe was a tenth. And God had prescribed this in the Old Testament, that Israel was to bring in, for them it was primarily a tenth of their grain, a tenth of their produce, okay? And God said, whatever you earn, whatever you produce for yourselves, bring a tenth of it into the storehouse. Bring a tenth of it and give that to Almighty God. Bring the whole tithe. If you choose to give more than the tithe, you can do that. And there were times when God instructed the people of Israel to give offerings beyond the tithe. But the tithe was the minimum. It was the basic amount. Tithing is such a wonderful proposition because no matter what our incomes, we can always give a tenth. Randy Alcorn says, tithing is not the ceiling of Christian giving, it's the floor. It's not the finish line, it's the starting block. According to Christian pollster George Barna, fewer than one out of every 10 church Christians donates at least 10% of their income to the churches and other nonprofit organizations, although more than one-third claim to do so. The tithe is a tenth of what God has blessed us with. And I know there are some who say, well, Pastor Tim, you're preaching from the Old Testament. The tithe is an Old Testament concept. I would say you're partly right and partly wrong. In the first place, Jesus himself in the New Testament commended the tithe. He said, you tithe of your various spices, and that you ought to do. So Jesus commended the tithe, but we find the principle in the New Testament. You want to go all New Testament on me this morning? Because tithing's Old Testament? You want to go New Testament on me this morning? The New Testament principle is all that we have belongs to God. Like we sang this morning. You know, it makes a real pretty song, doesn't it? But it makes a powerful way of life. When we say, God, everything I have is yours. Rich DeVos, the founder of Amway Corporation, said this. He said, you should always set the tithe aside first as soon as the money comes in. Don't think of it as your money. Think of it as the Lord's. If you don't claim it as your own, you won't miss it when you give it to God. But if you put it in your pocket first, it will be hard to give away. Something inside you will say, no, that's my money. So tithe off the top. Giving is easier when you set your tithe aside the moment you get it. My wife and I have always practiced that principle. I was taught that as a young child, and so was she. And we had an agreement before we got married. Yes, we talked about this before we got married, that whatever we earned, the tenth, the tithe, the Lord's offering, the Lord's tithe, I should say, would come right off the top. It wasn't a question of, well, we'll see how we're doing paying the bills and we'll see what's left over. No, his portion came off the top and we lived on what was less. And believe me, when we started out, we didn't make much money at all. Back in 1980 when we got married. We didn't make much at all, but we agreed together. We've lived by that principle every day of our lives. And never regretted it for one moment. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. It's amazing how many Christians wouldn't think of stiffing their waiter or their waitress a good tip. I think the standard now is about 20%. Used to be 10%, then used to be 15%, and most people give 20%. But boy, when it comes to God, you know, and sometimes we give a token of what we should give. And the Lord says, if you'll give me the tithe, see what I will do. And I'm going to talk about that for a minute. If you're here this morning and money's tight and it's hard to pay those bills, and sometimes you have, you know, a little more month left at the end of the month than money, you know, and you say, Pastor Tim, you know, I hear what you're saying. I've heard the teaching on tithing, and I know what the Word of God says. But I'm falling behind as it is. I'm barely making it as it is. I want to challenge you to obey the Word of the Lord, to put God first, to take the tithe off the top, and to say, Lord, I'm going to give you what's yours. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to give you the tenth. I'm going to bring the whole tithe to you, Lord. So the proportion, we need to understand. If we're all in, Lord, I'm going to give you the whole tithe. And for some of us, that this may be a watershed moment. Because you see, our finances, our material goods, are representative of a larger principle. Because we work to earn what we receive when we give our finances, when we give our tithe, we are giving of ourselves. We are doing what we just sang about, giving ourselves away. When we give God what He desires, when we give Him as a minimum that tenth, that tithe, and say, Lord, this is yours. This is yours. The proportion is the whole tithe. What's the second thing we need to understand as all in believers about God's design for giving? We need to understand the place. He says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. Notice the word tithes is plural, but the word storehouse is singular. The storehouse in the Old Testament was the tabernacle, and then following that, after the building of the temple, it was the temple. There was a room in the temple where the offerings of God's people, the grain that they would bring, would be stored. And they were to bring their tithe into the storehouse. They weren't instructed to give it to other people, to give it to those who were in need, or to distribute it as they wanted to. They were told, bring it into the storehouse. In the New Testament era, the storehouse is the local church. It's the place where we come to worship, where we receive our spiritual nurture, where we fellowship together, where we all together collectively receive the benefits of coming together. The church is not just a social organization. How many know that? How many know that this morning? The church is a living organism. And God has called us to be part of this church, and we reap the benefits of this being part of this body. And as I said, the tithe, the tenth, it doesn't matter what you earn, how much or how little, everyone can give a tenth and bring it into the storehouse. You may say, well, Pastor Tim, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, there's this great evangelist on TV, and you know, I send a portion of my tithes there, and there's this ministry that I've been a part of for years, and, you know, I give to a missionary overseas, or I give to needy children, and I support them. So some of my tithe is spread out, and I give to the needy. Well, giving to the needy is wonderful. Giving to missions is awesome. Giving to parachurch ministries that do good things, those are wonderful things to do, but that is not the place for our tithe. The place is the storehouse. How well, and I know you've heard this analogy, it's cliche, but it so makes the point. How well do you think it would go over if you went into Giant and came up to the cash register with your grocery cart full of groceries, and you said, now look, I know there's, you know, $150 worth of groceries in my cart, but you know, I'm community minded, and I really feel it's important that I support the Safeway down the street, and there's a Food Lion in my neighborhood, and so I'm going to give you $50, and I'm going to spread the other, because I mean, those are really good stores, you know, to say, I'm getting all my groceries here, but I'm going to give a third to Safeway and a third to Food Lion or Aldi or wherever you, how well do you think that would go over? How far out the front door do you think you'd get? Not too far. You pay the grocery bill where you get your groceries. And so God's word tells us to bring the tithe into the storehouse, into the place where we receive our spiritual nurture. As I said, giving to other ministries is awesome. We encourage you to give to missions. Many of you give regularly to missions, and that's so important. My wife and I have supported missions for all of our married life, but that is over and above the tithe. And there are times when God will lay it on our heart to give a special offering or a need. I remember a number of years ago, our main, it's probably been about 10 years ago, our main heating and air conditioning unit that heats the sanctuary in this part of the building just went out, and we had to buy a new one. We presented it to the body, and of course, the Nichols, you know, that's their business, and they install it, and they gave us a good deal on it, but it was still going to cost around $20,000. Which is a lot of money, and it was even more for us at that time in our financial situation. And I just remember how you all, those of you who were here, just gave extra and just, you know, hundreds and some even $1,000 and just gave to that need. And we paid that off with no problem, but you did that above and beyond your tithe, because the tithe was to be brought into the storehouse on a regular basis. And so giving to all kind of ministries is a wonderful thing. But God's word tells us, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Support your church where you're nurtured and where God has called you to be. The third thing all unbelievers understand about giving is the purpose. Is the purpose. The Lord says to Israel, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. That there may be food in my house, that there may be provision in my house. We bring the tithe into the storehouse to fund and to further God's work. You know, I've said this before. We've approached the various utilities here in Northern Virginia, the electric company and, you know, the gas company, the water company, and all these various places, and we've told them, look, you know, we're a church, and we're really, really good people, and so we just think that because of that, you should provide your services to us for free, and, you know, we're a religious, we're an organization, and we do good work, and do you know none of them went for that? It's shocking, isn't it? And do you know they charge us, I was going to say the same as they do you, but they charge us as a business. Even though we're not, they charge us the business rate like every other business, all these other million-dollar companies. They charge us at the same rate for the power and the gas and the water we use. Can you imagine that? We didn't really approach them and say that. I was making a point. My point, I think you get it. These things aren't free. And the ministries of this church, the outreach that we do, and yes, the salaries of the staff, and everything, and it costs money, and we have a desire to expand our ministries, but we can only do that as the funding is provided. And I just believe if all of God's people brought the tithe into the storehouse, I believe there's virtually no limit to what a church like ours could do for the kingdom of God. And you say, Pastor Tim, you must be preaching on giving because the church is doing really poorly in finances. That's not the case. We're doing well. Our giving is down some. I won't lie to you. It's down some. We're doing well. We haven't paid a full-time youth pastor in a year and a half, and that has helped save. We've had gracious volunteers to do that work, and so that has saved us some income. If we had been paying that full-time salary as we were before, I think our financial situation would be maybe a little bit different. So we're doing well, But the funds, you know, are always needed. But the point, of this message isn't, okay, funds are low, I got to preach on giving. The point is, this is the Word of God, and God is speaking to our hearts, and we want to be all in. Amen? Even when it comes to the grace of giving. So the purpose, the Lord says, that there may be food in my house, that God's Word would be provided for, that we could do what God calls us to do. I'm so grateful and thankful for the ministries of this church, aren't you? For what we've been able to do and for making an impact in this community. But I'll tell you this, I think we can do more. If God would provide, I know God will provide, if we would obedient and allow God to provide the resources through us. Heard about a church, the pastor stood before the congregation. He said, I have bad news, I have good news, and I have more bad news. The congregation got real quiet, kind of like you are right now. He said, the bad news is this, the church needs a new roof. The congregation groaned. He said, the good news is we have enough money for the new roof. He heard a sigh of relief rippling through the crowd. He said, the other bad news is this, the money is still in your pockets. How many know there's no shortage of what's needed in the house of God? Some of it just may still be in our pockets this morning. Hallelujah. That there may be food in my house. There are many charities worth giving to. But let's make the house of God our number one priority when it comes to our giving. You may not be able to give. You may or may not be able to give to everyone who calls you. And I get the calls too. From the Police Officers Benefit Fund and from other worthy organizations. You may or may not be able to give to those. But let's not neglect bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in the house of God, that His work and His ministries would be carried out according to His plan and His desire. Amen. Let not there be one ministry that God would have us do that we would say we would do it, but we don't have the resources. I believe we have the resources for everything God wants us to do. We just need to release it to Him. Amen? What's the fourth thing we need to understand as all-in believers about God's design for giving? It is the proposition. Test me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord. You may have heard it said before, this is the only place in all of Scripture where God tells His people to test Him. As a matter of fact, several places in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, he chides the nation of Israel for testing Him. He says it in a negative sense. But this one place, testing God, is referred to in a positive sense. God says, test me, or some translations say, prove me in this. God says, you can put this word of mine to the test. What I'll do when you give to me. Somebody said tithing is a great place to start, but it's a terrible place to stop. Test me in this. The First Christian Church in Owosso, Oklahoma, made an offer to its people. Listen to this. They said, try tithing for 90 days. And if you are not blessed, the church will refund your money. You ever heard of that before? That's a pretty bold declaration. But God will prove faithful to His word. In fact, this morning I am prepared to give you the same guarantee. If you try tithing for 90 days and you are not blessed, contact the First Christian Church of Owosso, Oklahoma, and they will refund your money. I'll give you the same guarantee. Some are Googling now the contact. Seriously, this morning, God, His word states this, God is a debtor to no one. God owes us nothing. We may get behind in our bills. God never gets behind in his obligations to us. Can I get an amen this morning?
Amen.
The very people who say they can't tithe maybe can't tithe because they aren't tithing. I'll give you the day to think about that. Test me in this. Put God to the test. Every promise in the Word of God is true. The Word of God says God is not a man that he should lie. Now, that doesn't say much for men, does it? And man is generic there. It includes you too, ladies. Doesn't say much for mankind, does it? We are prone to fabrication. We are prone to shading the truth. We are prone to lying. The Word of God says God is not like us. Every word of God is true. Can I get an amen on that? Not most of the words of God, not 99.99% of the words of God are true. Every word from the mouth of God is true. God says, test me in this. You put me to the test. And this morning, if you either have not been acquainted with the teaching on tithing from the Word of God, or maybe you have, but you just found it too difficult and money's too tight and you don't know how you can do it, I want to challenge you this morning. Put God to the test. Take God at his word. Give him the tithe. Give him what's his. Take it off the top and see if you can't trust him. Say, Pastor Tim, trust him to do what? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that brings me to the fifth point this morning. He says, test me in this. The fifth point is the promise. Test me in this. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Let me tell you, if every Christian believed this, every Christian would tithe. God is not a genie waiting around to give us everything we want just because we tithe. That's not what the Word of God says. But he promises to bless us. I will throw open the floodgates. What a picture that is. Do you know what floodgates are? They're just what they sound like. They are gates that are constructed to hold back a flood. How many know what a flood is? We've all, some of you may have experienced it. I just saw last night, I think Old Town was flooded, which happens frequently. We've seen in recent years floods in places like Houston and other places in the last couple of years. A flood is a mighty force. It can hardly be contained. It is a rushing river. And floodgates are constructed to hold them back, to contain it. God uses that word picture to illustrate for us what he will do when we give him what's his. He says, I'm going to open those floodgates. What does that say to you? I'll tell you what it says to me. It says that God's going to pour a flood of blessing into your life. God's going to pour a flood of blessing into your life if you give him what's his. Hallelujah. Does that sound like a good deal to you? It does to me. It does to me. Now, a couple of qualifiers, okay? It takes a little time. How many know we sow seed? It takes a little time for the seed to grow, okay? If you tithe today for the first time, or maybe you're being challenged. Some of you are being challenged right now. And if you come and you put the tithe in, there's going to be a war in your soul, a war in your mind, okay? Because the minute you put that in, if that's not something you're accustomed to doing, the minute you put that in, there's going to come a war in your mind saying, what did you do that for? Come on, how many have experienced this? Have had this crossroads in your life? You got those bills. It's money's tight as it is, and you gave 10% away. And then what could happen further is tomorrow you could get an unexpected bill that you weren't counting on, and you're like, see, and that voice, see, you did a stupid thing. But that's, let me tell you, see, I'm telling you that so you're forewarned. That's to test you. That's to test your resolve to obey the word of the Lord. And if you resolve to give God what's his, God said he's going to open the floodgates of heaven. He's going to pour out a blessing on you. And the next paycheck, pay period comes, and you wrestle with that, and you say, Lord, I made a commitment. I'm going to put that tithe in. And what's going to happen? Those floodgates are going to start opening a little wider and a little wider. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Come on. Come on, put your hand up. You know what I'm, you've experienced this. Look around. If you're doubting, look around the hands this morning. That floodgate's going to open a little wider, and it's going to become a little easier, a little easier. And God's going to bless you. There's going to be a flood of blessing. I don't mean you'll be wealthy. I don't mean you'll win the lottery. I hope you're not wasting your money in the lottery. If you do win it, tithe on it. But I don't advise you to put your money in it. How's that for honesty? God says, I will throw open the windows of heaven. I'll pour a blessing on you that you cannot even contain. Let me tell you, many of us here, we found that to be true. I told you my wife and I made a commitment before we were married that the tenth would come off the top and that we would give offerings. And we're not the biggest givers in the world, but we give as God leads us. And so many of you do as well. And you're such a blessing, your faithfulness. And we have found personally that God has met every need of ours. Oh, there's times when money gets a little tight. There's times when our resolve to give gets tested. But we hold true, and God comes through every single time. And I believe if we took the time, we could take testimony after testimony, and so many of you would testify and say, hey, Pastor Tim, my resolve to give the Lord what's his has been tested, but I've held true. I've given God that tithe and that tenth and even more besides, and God has blessed me abundantly, and God has met every need of my life. I have no doubt that many of you would testify to that. Because God keeps his promises. Heard a story about a lady named Mary Crowley who founded Home Interiors. She was a devout Christian who used her wealth as well as her talents to extend the kingdom of God. At one time, she had very little materially. She didn't even have an automobile. She and her two children walked faithfully every Sunday to the services at First Baptist Church of Dallas. Sometimes members of the congregation would pick them up and give them a ride to church. And all the while, in those years, she faithfully tithed from her meager income. She made very little at all. In time, her home decorating talents and business mind resulted in great wealth. And when prosperity came, she continued to faithfully tithe. And she wore around her neck two small gold shovels. And one of the gold shovels was larger than the other. And when people would ask about the meaning of those gold shovels, she would say this. She said, the little shovel is mine. I can shovel it out. But the big one is God's. He shovels it in 10 times faster. Hallelujah. That's our God. Amen. That's the faithfulness of our God. Amen. It's been said, it's a cliche, it's been said over and over, but it's so true. You cannot, in your wildest dreams, outgive God. Because he's a faithful God. Hallelujah. Conclusion this morning, what do all unbelievers understand about God's design for giving? They understand the proportion to bring the whole tithe. Not just a portion, not just what we feel comfortable with, but to give God as a very minimum the whole tenth, the whole tithe of our regular income. They understand that the place is the storehouse, the place where God has called us to fellowship, the place where we are nurtured and fed spiritually. They understand that the purpose is that there may be food in the house of God, that the work of God would prosper, and that souls would come to Jesus Christ through the ministry of the local church. They understand the proposition that here alone in the Word of God does God say, test me in this, you can put me to the test. And they understand the promise that God says, if you give me, if you set aside and give me what is mine, I will open the floodgates of heaven. And I'll pour out blessings on you that you don't even have room to contain.